Well, good morning. Bear with me. It's hard to turn pages with my mittens on. But as you can see, we had a great week at VBS, climbing Mount Everest. And it has been, we just don't want to come down off the mountain, do we? Because this is nice. And the kids had a great time. And I'll tell you this. What we did this week as a congregation, most important thing we do all year. The most important thing that we do is let kids in this church and in our community know that there is a place where they are wanted, that there is a place where they can learn about the true and living God. And if they have any questions, any issues at all, there are people here that they know love them, care about them, will teach them, will just love on them and pray with them. One of the greatest things that, we were here all, and this is Sherpa Shane, and I was the leader of the first part where we sang and danced and all that. And yes, I wore this all week. I've lost 7 pounds. And it was 68 degrees in this room. And I'm telling you, these are coming off. But it was, we sang and man, we did the hand motions and the My God is Invincible and that and the two steps to the left and the right and all. It was great. And we had a big time. But you know what I love seeing is that when we would have our crew time together, and if you weren't here, each one of our groups were in these little mountain climbing crews, and they had a crew leader. And we would get times where we would, we'd all pray together, and then there were times where we would, pray as a group. And one time in particular, it's everybody's supposed to be praying, and I look over, and there's crew leader Donna, and she has got her group, and they're knee to knee in a circle, and they are praying together. And I thought, that is exactly what it's about right there. And it wasn't just Donna, it was all of our crew leaders that were, all of the singing and all of the dancing and all of the whatever that is right there. All of that in the world can never ever do as much good as a Christian man or woman taking the time to connect with the next generation and pray and sing together, but just to be there right next to them, letting them know. I don't know if there's no way that I can remember all the names and all the faces of all the kids that come, but I guarantee you those crew leaders, they know who was in their crew. And they will know them the rest of their life, and they will be praying for them. And those kids know that somebody at that little pointy church over there on King's Lane loves them. And it doesn't get any better than that. It does not get any better than that. And if it takes singing and dancing in a winter coat in the middle of summer, then that's what we'll do. And my question is, before we get into the sermon part of this, and we're going to talk about that's coming too. There's only so much a fat kid can stand. We're going to get into this and talk about what we talked about all week. But my challenge is, and it might not be much, but I'm willing to stand up in front of kids in a winter coat and a Sherpa hat and all this for a week, singing and dancing. And Donna's willing to come every night and pour her heart and soul. And Marcia and Teresa and Heather and everybody else and, Melissa, everybody that does anything, willing to come here and to do this and to act silly and to dress up and all of that. What are we willing to do? What are you willing to do to ensure that the next generation doesn't know right from wrong? Because as we see, some people would say that's up to interpretation, which we don't believe that. But we got to teach kids that God loves them and that the church is a place where they can come to find out what that looks like, what that feels like. so that they can pursue throughout their life a relationship with the Lord, so that they will know right from wrong. So that they don't have to be told. It doesn't have to be defined, because they have a relationship with the Lord, and that's what tells them what is right and what is wrong. This week, we did a good thing in preparing the next generation to know God so that they can stand firm. The fact is that this week was all about conquering challenges with His mighty power. You know, the fact is, and in Mark chapter 11, 22 through 24, as Spencer just read for us, Jesus says that if you will come up against mountains and you have faith in God, you can say to this mountain, "You, get out of my way," and it'll happen. That's what he's telling us. And the fact is that our stories, as we walk through this life, as we gather together, our stories are full of mountains. I mean, there are ups and there are downs. And let me tell you something, from somebody who's been hiking literally through the hills and the mountains of Tennessee, and been, you know, hiking in the mountains of Colorado. Whether you're going up or whether you're going down, it's all difficult. Can I get an amen, Chuck? Hey, if you're walking up that mountain, it's got some difficulty. When you're coming down that mountain, it's got difficulties all its own. There, don't think just because you're going downhill that it gets easier. Have you ever walked down an incline of a foothills of the Smokies for about a mile and a half backwards? I have. You know why? Because walking forward just started hurting so bad. So you kind of have to start walking backwards a little bit. It hurts less. I don't care if you're going up or going down. It's all difficult when you're in the mountains. And God says our stories are full of them. The fact is, the beautiful fact is that God has the power to overcome those. We don't. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, if you've just got the patience and the stamina and a real good shovel, you can dig your way around, through, under, over that mountain." He's saying, if you have faith in God, He will remove it. God has the power to overcome all the ups and all the downs. And I don't know if there's a more important story for kids to know than, no matter what you face, no matter what, God is there and He is able. God is there and He is able no matter what the obstacle. We learned on the very first night that before anything, and if you hear something, those of us who are at VBS, and especially our younger friends, our kids, if y'all hear something that makes you feel the need to proclaim a certain two-word catchphrase, hold on. If you hear that, feel free. And the grown-ups, they'll figure it out, and they'll join in, maybe. But the first night, we learned that God has the power to provide. I love that. God has the power. Whatever it is, God has the power to provide. Because the neat thing is that my mountains are different than your mountains. My struggles are different than your struggles. What I might think is insurmountable, you might just glide right over it. What I think is a huge temptation might not even show up on your radar screen. But regardless of what we are facing, God has the power to provide. Hey, don't let me down up here, all right? I got on the Sherpa Shane suit this morning, so I better hear some holding on. You know what I'm saying? So God provides. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, we're told that, you know, God will generously provide all your needs. Generously. We talked about that. It's not, you know, God doesn't scrimp on us. He doesn't just give us enough to kind of barely sort of just make it over the peak. He generously gives whatever it is that we need. That wasn't one. But that's okay. I will get used to that. That's fine. Don't let me deter you. So, but whatever it is, He doesn't hold back on us. We also learn that regardless of our pain, regardless of what we're going through, that God has the power to comfort. There are times when we are uncomfortable. there are times in our life, and God comforts us in all of our needs, in all of our troubles, so that we can what? So we can play Xbox, right? So that we can play, so we can go play PlayStation, right? He comforts us so that we can just go hang out at the mall. Go to the movies. Why does He comfort us? Nevaeh, tell me, why does He comfort us? So that we can comfort others. He does this for a reason, so that we can be the church, we can be His hands, and we can be His feet. He gives us comfort so that when we are climbing our mountains, we can show others what it looks like and help them up theirs. It's a lot of mountains up here. I'm going to tie those up somewhere. Tuck that in. I just thought ladybugs were treacherous. He comforts us. God has the power to comfort us. We also learn that God has the power to heal. In Psalm 147 and verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. There are times that we are without understanding of what's going on in our life. The guy in the back just caught up to us. There are times in our life when we are beyond being able to understand what's going on. We are beyond able to understand why we lose, why we suffer the things that we suffer. But it doesn't give us an opportunity to turn away, to let go. When our hearts are broken, when our minds are confused, when it doesn't seem as though anything is going according to the plan, God shows up in the middle of that. If we will trust Him, if we will have that Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24 faith and rely on God, and He can bind up those confusions, those heartaches, because He does have the power to heal. We learn that He has the power, God has the power to forgive. We had a story in the New Testament. We went through Elijah. Yeah, go back. We went through Elijah, Naaman, and Peter. And in Nehemiah 9:7, he says, "You're a God of forgiveness." Because the simple fact of the matter is that the biggest mountain we face is this one right here. The biggest mountain that we are up against is the mountain of temptation, the mountain of fallenness, the mountain that is us leaving God. You know, in the story that we used, was the story of Peter denying, as we saw on the video, denying Christ. And there's times when we feel like I've turned so far away from God that He can't take me back. And all that is, every bit of that is a lie that Satan is telling us. And I don't know if there is a greater message to let kids know that our God is the true and living God, that He is a just and merciful God, but He is the God that we read about and we talked about even last week. He's the God in Luke chapter 15 that is returnable unto. Now that is actually proper grammar. He is able to be returned to. No matter where we are, no matter what pig pen we find ourselves in, no matter what sin we find ourselves mired down in, no matter how much we have let go, God is a God with eternal power to forgive us. And that's a lot harder to hold on to than any of the other ones. Because we don't believe that. Because we think that there are times when we have turned so far away. But He does have that power. He does have that more than the power. He has the desire. And as silly as I'm standing up here in front of you this morning, there's nothing more serious that the world needs to know. That we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to condone sin as a country. Because our Father, our God, has the power to forgive that sin. And in forgiveness, there is transformation. That's the message of the church. That's the message of the gospel. And lastly, God has the power to love us forever. And if we will hold on to that one, if we will realize and hang on to that truth, all the rest of them will come together. John 3:15, anyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. You see, our God is not a here today, gone tomorrow. It's not a fickle, not a mind-changing, emotional God. Our God is the rock, the unchanging God of the universe. And the question becomes, will we do what we have just proclaimed? Will we hold on to Him? Through all of the ups and all of the downs, all of the peaks and the valleys, will we hold on? And because it's easy to say that in VBS. It's easy to learn all of these things and to have an intellectual assent to those and say, yeah, I believe that. I believe that God heals the brokenhearted. I believe that He gives me this and He forgives. I believe all that. But will we as a church, as a community, as an individual, will we hold on to that? Because the simple fact of the matter is that we never know when the next mountain is going to pop up. We never know when the next obstacle that's calling on us to let go, to depend on myself, my government, my this, my that, my whatever, to depend on other things. We never know. We can't see it coming until we're halfway up, exhausted, tired, beaten, and bloodied, thinking, I'm just going to let go. You've seen it before. We have a generation of kids not holding on, but letting go, holding on to everything else but the true and living God. This morning, my challenge is, will you hold on? Will you hold on to a God who provides and comforts, who heals, forgives, and loves forever? And not only personally will you hold on, will you not encourage, not challenge, and not teach, but will you enable the generation coming behind us to do the very same thing? Because the only way they can hold on, if we are. Because if we let go, if we start living as though there were something else to hold on to, they won't have an accurate picture of what it looks like. And then we've lost them. So, Marcia, Teresa, Heather, you just thought VBS was over. You just prayed that VBS was over. Let me tell you something. There is, I'm so proud of our congregation for honoring their work. But let me tell you something. There is no gift big enough to honor the amount of work that those ladies did. And not just them, but others. And they know it. And those others, I mean, the amount of work that goes into putting this on is, well, it's formidable. But it's worth it. Next year, no doubt, VBS will be way better. No doubt. Because it gets better every year. I don't understand how. It's like Al said, I don't know how we top it, but we do. Next year, will you be a part of it? In some small way. Doesn't matter how big or how small, will you be a part of it?